My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, who is also a Fox News Channel military analyst. We want to get his thoughts as the U.S. for the first time delivers airstrikes as well as missiles launched from U.S. ships and various bodies of water into the nation of Syria. Of course, it was weeks ago that the president authorized airstrikes in Iraq to stop the progress of ISIS. We also learned today that the strikes were not only aimed at ISIS, but also at the Khorasan group, which is another offshoot of al-Qaeda. And Captain Nash, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Nice to be back with you, Greg.
From what we know, based on the Pentagon briefing today and other information, how aggressive would you characterize this first venture into Syria?
Well, I think it's a pretty substantial move. And, you know, one of the things that I think people need to keep in mind is we make this look really easy. It's not. There's a lot of skill, a lot of practice, and the experience of war over time has educated that the people who are flying the airplanes and planning the missions, as well as the technology. It makes it look easy, but it's fairly complicated.
What are the greatest logistical challenges?
The big thing is getting everything to work as it's supposed to work, because you plan on it to work, and then you come up with backups if things go wrong, if the weather intervenes, if this group is running late because they got off late. How late can you get off and still make the mission? What are the fallback positions? Is everybody communicating, or is somebody in a ducting layer where you can't hear them? There are all kinds of things that can happen in the environment and in human performance that can really throw a monkey wrench into things. So when things go smoothly, everybody goes, well, that's the way it's supposed to work. But it's hard to pull off.
In an odd twist here, we did tip off the Assad regime, who we're no friends of course, due to the fact that we were going to do major strikes in their own borders, but targeting their enemy. We know that their air defenses were not trained on us. Was there anything in ISIS possession, whether something we gave to the Iraqis back in months or years ago or not, that was also a potential danger to our pilots over the region?
No, I don't think so. These deliveries were done at altitude using precision weapons, JDAMs and the like. So this is not something where you roll in a la World War II, or even as I used to do, where you just rolled into a dive and delivered your weapon in a dive and then pull out. These weapons are delivered from altitude. They guide themselves to the target, and that's why the targets that were hit last night were either hit with laser JDAMs or with JDAMs off of coordinates where those coordinates had been picked out through intelligence photos, and everything was pretty much locked in. Then it was just a matter of getting to the right place in the launch envelope at the right time and being part of this coordinated effort.
A lot of bipartisan applause for what happened starting yesterday over the skies of Syria. But everyone says, Captain, that this is just the beginning of a long campaign, and we shouldn't read too much into one night's worth of activities, although they seem to be very successful. So what do you expect the strategy to be from here?
I think what's going to happen is that the ISIS folks and some of the other really nasty groups, like the Khorasan group, they're going to disperse, just as the Serbs did. If you'll recall back during the war when we went in against Serbia, the Bosnia-Kosovo thing, we said we were going to attrite the Serbian military in the field. Well, actually what happened was we got into tank plinking, and then we found out after the war that those were decoys. They weren't even real tanks. Unless you have a ground force to oppose a ground force, there's no reason for that other ground force to coalesce into a defensive position and become dense enough to become a lucrative air target. So you can't go chasing individual people who are driving around in a truck through civilian infrastructure and chase them around with aircraft at high altitude and high speed. That's not how you do it. So there have to be boots on the ground at some point that are working on the same goals as we are. I'm not saying they have to be U.S. boots necessarily, but we're going to have either Title 10, some people in uniform who are used to working with U.S. aircraft, or Title 50, where they are chopped from the military to another agency where they're on the ground, but call them Americans on the ground. Sooner or later, they're going to be Americans on the ground. Otherwise, we're just going to be chasing ghosts.
Well, let's follow up on that, because obviously the president has said that while there will be U.S. personnel in Iraq and potentially Syria, that it's really other ground troops that he expects to do the fighting, namely Syrian rebels who might take up to a year to train in Saudi Arabia, as well as what's left of the Iraqi security forces. But we just saw today in the Washington Post that they've had another major setback due to a series of truck bombings at one of their bases in Anbar province, and that they're reeling the worst they have been since the ISIS wave back in June around Mosul. So what are we actually looking at in terms of a ground force to support with some of those personnel you mentioned earlier?
There's a lot of hope that the Iraqi military can step up, but as you point out, there was an Iraqi military installation with four or five divisions of soldiers that was overrun by an ISIS force just north of Fallujah on Sunday. And these guys, they got tricked. It was a Trojan horse operation. They got tricked. They opened the gate. They let them in. And the next thing you know, you've got people running for their lives, and they're missing anywhere from 150 to 500 soldiers right now. So when you look at, are those going to be our boots on the ground? Are they going to be working with the same goals as the United States? I don't know. The Kurds are in a defensive position. I don't think they're going to want to fight outside of the Kurdish territory. They just want to push ISIS out and keep them out. They don't want to go expeditionary. So it's going to be the Iraqi armed forces that are going to have to step up at some point. And for that to happen, they're going to have to get competent leadership at the officer level. They do have some good troops, the commando units, the special forces units that we've trained. Those guys are good, but there just aren't enough of them. The regular straight leg army infantry that the Iraqi forces have are not properly led, not properly equipped, and the events of last Sunday just showed that.
Captain, obviously there's been a lot of debate about whether the Obama administration has a good plan going forward here. There were even some lawmakers last week saying they really didn't think that there was one. Given where we stand now after what we saw last night and the building of at least a small coalition to carry out last night's operations, do you get the sense that we're further down that road, or is there still a lot of confusion out there?
I'm encouraged to see that we have Arab allies involved in actually putting up aircraft. Now, not all of them carried weapons last night, but they did put up forces, and therefore they took a critical step. And the critical step is admitting and now going out to defend in their own populations the fact that these Sunni countries are in combat against a Sunni unit, this ISIS group. So they're taking on the risk of having internal problems, internal terrorist acts or demonstrations in their own countries. The Saudis, in particular, have laid the groundwork to refute that and to actually co-opt the Wahhabi religious leaders to issue fatwas about going to fight in Syria and how that's an evil. So we'll see. I just think that that going forward, everybody was there on opening night. Let's see how long the play runs.
And final question, based on what we've seen so far, some folks say that this looks like a mission to destroy. Some say it looks like a mission to degrade, but maybe not go all the way to destruction. Is there any way to really tell at this point?
It will never be destroyed. The violent element is in the DNA of Islam. It's in their documents, and moderates and radicals read the same documents and draw their inspiration from the same religious texts. It will never disappear. It can only be degraded.
Captain, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for your insight.
You bet, Greg.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, Fox News Channel military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.